Chapter 28. Witness.
Late in the afternoon of the day of the resurrection, two of the disciples were on their way to Emmaus, a little town 8 miles from Jerusalem. They were perplexed over the events that had recently taken place. The reports of the women who had seen the angels and had met Jesus after his resurrection especially puzzled them. Now they were returning to their home to meditate and pray. The men hoped they would gain some light about those matters that seemed so dark to them. As they journeyed, a stranger joined them, but they were so busy with their conversation that they hardly noticed his presence. The two disciples were so burdened with grief that they wept as they traveled along. Christ's heart of love saw here a sorrow that he could comfort. Disguised as a stranger, he began to talk with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Luke 24:16-19. They then told what had taken place and repeated the account given by the women who had been at the tomb early that same morning. Then Jesus said, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken! Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Verses 25 and 26. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Verse 27. The disciples were silent from amazement and delight. They did not ask the stranger who he was. Instead, they listened eagerly as he explained to them Christ's mission. Had the Savior first made himself known to the disciples, they would have been satisfied. In the fullness of their joy, they would have desired nothing more. But it was necessary for them to understand how all the symbols and prophecies of the Old Testament had foretold his mission. Their faith must be established upon them. Christ performed no miracle to convince them, but it was his first work to explain the scriptures. They had looked upon his death as the destruction of all their hopes. Now he showed from the prophets that it was the very strongest evidence for their faith. As he taught these disciples, Christ showed the importance of the Old Testament as a witness to his mission. Many now reject the Old Testament, claiming that it is no longer of any use. But that is not Christ's teaching. So highly did he value it that at one time he said, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." Luke 16:31. The disciples reached their home as the sun was setting. Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther, Luke 24:28. But the disciples could not bear to part from the one who had brought them such joy and hope. So they said to him, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Verse 29. The simple evening meal was soon ready. As his custom was, Christ took his place at the head of the table. It was usually the duty of the head of the family to ask a blessing upon the food, but Christ placed his hands upon the bread and blessed it. Suddenly the disciples realized who he was. The act of blessing the food, the sound of the now familiar voice, the prints of the nails in his hands, all proclaimed him their beloved master. For a moment they sat spellbound. Then they rose to fall at his feet and worship him. But at that moment he disappeared. In their joy they forgot their hunger and weariness. They left the meal untasted and raced back to Jerusalem with the wonderful message of a risen Savior. As they related these things to the other disciples, Christ himself stood among them. Hands uplifted in blessing, he said, "Peace to you." Verse 36. At first they were frightened, But when he had shown them the prints of the nails in his hands and feet, and had eaten in front of them, they believed. Faith and joy now took the place of unbelief and sorrow. With feelings that no words could express, they acknowledged their risen Savior. The disciple Thomas had not been with them at this meeting. He refused to believe the reports about Jesus' resurrection. But after 8 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples again when Thomas was present. On this occasion, Christ again showed in his hands and feet the marks of the crucifixion. Immediately convinced, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God!" John 20:28. In the upper chamber, Jesus again explained what the scriptures had to say about himself. Then he told his disciples that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Before his ascension to heaven, he said to them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth," Acts 1:8. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," Matthew 28:20. "You have been witnesses," he said, "of my life of self-sacrifice in behalf of the world. You have seen that all who come to me, confessing their sins, I freely accept. All who want to be may be reconciled to God and have everlasting life. To you, my disciples, I give this message of mercy. You are to take it to all nations, tongues, and peoples. Even though you go to the farthest part of the world, I will be there with you. You may work in faith and confidence, because I will never forsake you." The Savior's commission to the disciples involves all believers. It includes all those who accept Christ to the end of time. All who receive the life of Christ are to work for the salvation of their fellow human beings. Not all can preach to congregations, but all can serve other individuals. We minister to others when we receive the suffering, help the needy, comfort the sorrowing, and tell the sinner of Christ's pardoning love. When we do that, we are all Christ's witnesses.